This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, all right, everybody out there at TFMR, it's Saturday of Labor Day weekend here in the United States of America, a three-day market holiday. Oh, my gosh. You know what that means. If it's a three-day market holiday, that means it's time to sit down and visit with the jackass. We're talking about the golden jackass himself, Jim Willey. He is the editor of the Hat Trick Letter that you can find at golden-jackass.com. An old friend of the site. I was just thinking yesterday, the first time I talked to Jim was 2011. For God's sake, Jim, I've known you for like, 15% of my life.
That's a long time, 8 years. I realize it's been a long time, and we hit it off early because we were both kind of different. Or there's some words for it. Unusual,
eccentric.
Yeah.
Unusual.
Yeah, I've been called unorthodox. There you go.
I'm struggling for unorthodox. Yeah.
Uh-huh. throughout all my career, like from 1980 to 2003, I was called unorthodox at work. So when I met a fellow unorthodox analyst, I thought, well, gosh, this is two pigs in a very happy slop pond. We have a good time, We're both. Yeah. We both have an attitude, but let's get to stuff here.
Let's roll.
We are in deep shit.
Yeah, we are.
Everywhere I look. Go ahead.
Everywhere we look. And this is kind of always an interesting call because in the summertime, we do this about every 6 weeks, right? We've got Easter and then Memorial Day and then the 4th of July and then Labor Day. And that's been beneficial. I mean, this has been such a crazy year and things are moving so fast. Prices moving outside of where I thought we'd get to by the end of the year. And now, though, Jim, if all things go according to plan, we won't talk again for 3 months because the next market holiday is Thanksgiving. So this should be a very fun call for everybody to listen to. As we normally do, we're going to try to hit three main points. And I'm going to let Jim just roll and tell you what he thinks. The first one, we're just going to talk about the metals. We haven't just sat down and just simply talked about the precious metals and where they're headed and the year they're having and all that stuff for quite some time. Then we're going to get into the bond market, negative interest rates. Jim's been talking about this for years, another correct forecast of the Hat Trick Letter. And then at the end, we're going to get into some of the recent developments in the Forex market, specifically the dollar. But Jim, let's get started. You know, my friend, we talk about this every time. This has been a great year. My forecast has been that 2019 would be like 2010. Where we went sideways for the beginning of the year, and then it was off the races as everybody figured out the Fed was backpedaling and going back to QE and all that stuff. And I mean, all of that, it's history. Yeah, you know what? This time maybe it is repeating, not just rhyming. What do you think, man? We're at 1550 in gold and 1850 in silver. The last time gold was up at 1550, silver was north of 26. So it looks like silver's got some catching up to do. I'm sure all of this stuff is on your radar. What are your thoughts at this point?
I see a rest stop for gold at 1540. I see a rest stop for silver at 1910. And it's based on the swings from the momentum in reversals. And nothing is concrete. Silver's got some catching up to do. But, I really don't get locked down much in price discussion. You know me for the last, you get locked down in price discussion in the last 3 years, you haven't had much to talk about.
Right.
What I've been talking about, what I've been focusing on, what I've been really sticking with good concentration in the newsletter and in articles, public articles, are the dynamics that's going to push this out of the range. And there's an old technical analysis rule that absolutely is relevant now. The longer you're stuck within a range, the more explosive the move is when you break out of the range. And there's a good reason for that. It has to do with, let me just give you an example. We went up about three different times in the last couple of years. And you just make up something. It may not be exactly accurate. It doesn't matter. I'm making an argument here. we've approached the 1500, I'm sorry, the 1400 price point, price level, and we were rebuffed three different times in the last 18 months or 2 years. So the smart traders will think, oh my gosh, if I put in some shorts there, I'm going to make some money. Well, now they're getting overrun and they got to cover their shorts and they're amplifying the move up. If you look at the swing, you'll see 1540 is a pretty decent target. But what's going on? What is the biggest dynamic on the globe right now for pushing up gold? It's two things. The U.S. government debt and the Treasury bond securities, the whole bond market, is in really bad trouble. Deep, deep trouble.
Right.
I run out of descriptions. It's insolvent, it's corrupt, it's dependent upon machinery, it's subject to tremendous dumping. It deserves 10 to 15% yield, but it's falling toward one. Okay, that's one side. The other big dynamic, in my view, is the realization by the smartest people, by the fund managers, by the wealthy speculators, that we're going back to 0% because mm-hmm. this tightening didn't work. And furthermore, we're going back to full-blown QE with heavy bond volume purchases, and we're going straight back to QE, we're going straight back to 0%, and it might even be worse than what we had 6 or 7 years ago at the advent of QE. And what I mean by that, Craig, sorry, I got friends named Craig. I got friends named Greg.
No, I know. You mess it up every time.
I know. Mr. Hemke.
It's good. I like that. Sir. Yes. Sir is fine.
Sir Hemke. Okay. What I've noticed is that we've got the dynamics, the forces, the groundswell, the volcanic eruption potential where they might have to monetize Boeing.
Yeah.
They might have to monetize Citibank.
GE.
They might have to monetize Wells Fargo.
General Electric.
Glad you mentioned that. General Electric. While on the other side of the ocean, they might have to monetize Deutsche Bank.
Deutsche Bank.
Or as you call it, Deutsche Bank.
Yep.
They might have to monetize one or two big French banks. They might have to monetize five big Italian banks. Okay, so we're moving toward what I call infinite QE forever at the zero rate with some gusto.
Yeah.
And the gusto is monetizing the dead icons. They cannot let Boeing go down.
Right.
On the side, will they let Tesla go down? Well, that will depend on whether they have a hidden agenda with Tesla. And, you know, leave it to your imagination what Tesla might be doing in service to the deep state. I don't even want to get into it. I like to focus on Wells Fargo because I think they had a failure event in May, June.
What do you mean? I missed that.
Well, do you remember the story where a bunch of Treasury officials, Treasury officers invaded Wells Fargo and there was a lot of online disruption to relate to report on a query? What is my account?
Yeah.
And there were some missing. There were some missing accounts. There were some confiscated accounts. And I had about three or four clients tell me what's going on. I cannot see what's going on in my Wells Fargo account. Furthermore, a deposit I made yesterday does not show up. There were big disruptions in May, June at Wells Fargo. I think they had a failure event, and I'll tell you what I think it was. I think Wells Fargo had a lot of withdrawn Chinese deposits.
Hmm.
And I think they had an insolvency problem. They had an asset to debt ratio
mm-hmm.
problem, an
mm-hmm.
asset to you know total capital
mm-hmm.
Problem, but you know that's just the main point is that we're moving back toward QE.
Yeah.
We're moving down in interest rates. I thought 3 years ago when they started the tightening, what are they doing?
Right.
This is insane. We cannot afford tightening. I've been saying for years, Sir Hemke, I've been saying that we cannot afford to tighten or reverse course or we'll wreck the system. So maybe they were conducting an experiment to see if they, to
yeah,
what extent.
Yeah,
to do a stress test to find out, you know, how should we react? And I think they went too far. And I think their stress test was double what it should have been. Didn't they learn a year and a half after starting their stupid stress test of tightening that this is not going to work?
Right.
I mean, look at the parade of fallen angels into triple B territory for U.S. corporate bonds. This is an example of the failure. This didn't work. Why are you continuing? And they, well, we've got a plan. We've got an agenda. Don't you ever watch the data or do you just read the false data? Unbelievable. We're moving back to infinite QE forever with a zero rate and a kicker to monetize the dead icons. And I'm telling you right now, back in when this all started, what was it, April, May, we broke 1,400 and started the course. And
May
numerous,
yeah,
numerous gold prices in foreign currencies, foreign currency term, numerous were in breakout mode, like the Australian, the British, the Euro. In particular, the Australian was the first, I think, because it suffered the most damage for their currency and it had the earliest recovery. But what I'm trying to say is back 3 months ago, the gold market sniffed out. I love that. I mean, like a dog. It's in Spanish. I learned the word in Spanish a while back. It wasn't for a dog, you know, sniffing a trail of a fox. It was more like a guy sniffing a trail of, well, you know what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the guy's sniffing. Oh, my gosh, she is gorgeous. Okay, so it's husmear, husmear. Okay, so the gold market sniffed out that we're going back to QE and we're going back to ZIRP. And now every time we get more solid indications that we're going back and it's going to be bigger than QE was in 2012. It's going to be more diverse in the quantitative easing and support. Look what happened just in the last 2 years or so. There was Fed support of the crude oil market. There was New York Fed support of the stock market. There was Euro Central Bank support of the corporate bond market. These are all outside the charter.
Right, right.
We've got the precedents. Sir Hemke, I have to write that down so it flows very easily.
Let me lay these on you, Jim. And you can pick them off one by one or just pick off one. Because I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. Is the kind of stuff I talk about every day. And I'm just curious as to what you think in terms of driving gold. One, like you just referenced, there are now 70 some odd currencies where gold's at an all-time high. We talk about the dollar price all the time. But British pound, Canadian dollars, Australian dollars, now even the euro. Gold all-time highs in terms of those currencies. So why isn't gold in dollar next? That's one thing. Second,
because the dollar's too strong. It's last. Don't
right.
worry about it.
It's good. Exactly. It's telling you what's going to happen. How about this? Negative interest rates are the greatest fundamental, driver of ownership of physical gold and silver ever created by man, because the argument from the traditionalist, the generalist, is always, well, gold doesn't pay a dividend.
Well, sure it does. Yeah, it's called writing calls.
But you know what I'm saying, though.
If you're curious about how it's done, ask Warren Buffett.
But you know what I'm saying, though. The fact that was always the argument against it. But when holding cash, which is being devalued, is costing you 1% a year, why not own money that's not being devalued, that isn't costing you anything, and actually growing, right? That's a pretty strong fundamental. Would you agree?
Well, yeah. This is more like, what should I hold if debt starts to enter failure across the entire system?
Right. So let me then hit you with one more. I was talking, Rick Rule put it this way when I talked to him a couple weeks ago, and he said over the last 40 years, the percentage global asset allocation to gold, silver, the mining shares, the whole sector has ranged from 8% back in 1980 to 0.5% in 2018, the median being 2.5%. You, my statistician friend, how would 5 times the amount of global assets affect everything in the sector?
I think we're looking at the $2,700 gold price and a $55 silver price if that happens. Let me lay on you a couple of little statistics that might bend your mind a bit.
Do it.
If you look at the shadow government statistics price inflation calculator, and you lift the 1980 gold price of $850, what would the price be today, properly adjusting for inflation 29 years later?
Lay it on me.
$16,600. We've got a lot of catching up to do, my friend.
I'd say so.
And furthermore, we've got triple the dollar money supply since 2008. We don't have anything near the triple of the gold price. And if you just ignore the $1,900 burst and just focus on, you know, $1,200 to $1,500, okay, we need to be up in the $3,000 and $4,000 range to catch up just to the money supply. Now, let me just lay on you another funny little one, because I thought, let's just assume you got 8% price inflation for the last 5 years. That's not far wrong. What would the $1,400 price have done in the last 5 years? Well, it would have gone to 1516, then to 1638, then to 1769, then to 1910. In other words, five dull years would have moved us to the top of what we saw in 2011 and 12, 1900. Okay, we have a lot of catching up to do. When you start hearing the fools and the morons and the corrupt analysts saying, oh my gosh, we're at 2200, this game is over. Oh no, that is first gear moving into second on a five-gear system moving to 7 to 10,000 quickly in the next 3 or 4 years. Yep. Okay, I'm a guy with the dynamics, okay? Let's lay on some dynamics here quickly. We've got the nice fuzzies happening with numerous big players like Druckenmiller and, oh gosh, Kyle Bass and
Dalio,
a few others. They're all hopping on the wagon saying gold is the answer when a lot of this debt defaults and we have the bond crisis. Okay. You got a hopping on phenomenon, climbing on the bandwagon. Okay, another one. J.P. Morgan is now involved in its third different fraud case after Goldman Sachs is involved in its own fraud cases. Okay, then when they come out and say, well, you know, gold is just kind of a dead relic. Well, really, then why were you falsifying and corrupting the gold market with your own senior executives?
Right.
Okay, so they've lost their credibility. Here's a big one. Three major silver-producing nations are experiencing rather significant decline in their silver mine output, starting with Chile, moving to Mexico, and I cannot remember the third.
Peru? I don't know.
Peru.
Yeah.
Peru. Yeah, I think it is Peru. Yes. And don't ever leave out Bolivia. They've got lots of smaller mines. I don't think they're a huge producer. But for me, it's Mexico, Chile, and Peru. Those are three very big ones. I featured, in the last 3 months, I featured a couple stories about Mexican mine output in the decline. Their biggest mine had something like a 30 or 40% decline in the last year for silver. And get a load of this. I've got a client. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, it was Jeff Berwick. It was not a client, a fellow analyst. Jeff Berwick, I think he resides in Acapulco. I'm not sure. I know he has his conference there, Anarcapulco, which I might attend next year finally with a nice invitation. Berwick is on record as saying that he can't find any silver coins in Mexico.
Hmm. Well,
huh?
You would think he'd know.
Well, he knows where to go, and where he goes, they don't have any. So I'm thinking they're exporting them. Not only are they exporting, but there's less of them.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the last point. The gold to the S&P stock ratio is at a low, and it's starting to turn up.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've got so many cyclical things. You got this guy named Nenner. I think he's a German who has pretty good English. He's the cycle guy.
Right.
He's saying, you know, it's now gold's turn. But he doesn't get into the fundamentals, like what's going on. Is this a debt issue? Is this a bad bond issue? Or what, bank insolvency? He just, it's their cycle. It's their turn. And for me, it's the end of the debt cycle. That's the big, it's the big story. It's the end of the debt cycle. I don't know how you can describe this any better. We got debt suffocation. We got debt, enormous debt with the U.S. government. You need about $4 or $5 of debt to produce $1 of economic activity. And here's my zinger, Lulu. When we get down to negative bond yields, you're going to start to see what's happening in Denmark. Negative mortgage rates.
That's crazy.
And then you're going to start seeing negative commercial loan rates.
Right.
And you can regard it as a government and systemic incentive to start a business and hire people.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
That's how I look at it.
No, I think that's a proper way to look at it, or buy a home or whatever. That this is a good segue to the second section about negative interest rates and, you know, the soaring pile of it, even over $1 trillion in corporate bonds now with a negative yield. Jim, you've been talking about this for years. I call it the terminal phase of the great Keynesian experiment. I mean, we are now, I mean, and there's no turning back at this point. What are your thoughts? I mean, do you see it the same way?
I certainly do. We could have made the entire hour on the bond crisis.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what I call it. For me, it's a matter of which are the most important points to hit on, which are the important factors that I have at the tip of my tongue with some good data behind. Let me say some generalities here, Sir Hemke. The bond market is in deep trouble. It's in a crisis mode, the likes of which it's not been in for a century. This is not like a 20-year phenomenon. This is a century. This is a changing of the guard of the global currency reserve after its ruination. I mean, you look back, you know, 4 centuries ago, you had Portugal, then you had Spain. Okay, finally, 150, 200 years ago, you had Britain. And now it's the U.S. With puppet strings from the Bank of England controlling us for the last, you know, 80 years, 100 years, with John Pierpont Morgan at the control originally. You've got $17 trillion of global bonds, sovereign bonds, that are at negative yield. This is destroying the entire financial system without any public recognition or announcements by the best paid financial analysts. If you had asked Greenspan in 1995, was he in charge then?
Yeah.
Or was it Volcker?
No, it was Greenspan.
Okay. I don't remember exactly when Volcker gave way to Greenspan. I think it was 92.
Something
anyway.
Like,
yeah. Okay. If you were to ask Greenspan back then, my good man, to be Sir Alan soon, could you tell us, with your infinite wisdom and non-obfuscation, what would the global bond market be like in terms of health if $19 trillion had negative bond yields? You say, that will never happen.
Yeah. What's a negative yield?
Well,
I mean, that's what he'd say. He'd think that's
it
inconceivable.
It would never happen.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. What is a negative yield? What does it mean? What are the consequences? It will never happen.
Yeah.
If you had asked Volcker back in the 80s, do you think the United States could ever go to 0% interest rates like Japan? He would say, it'll never happen. So I'm telling you here and now, it happened.
Right.
Because it's about to break down. It'll happen. It did happen. And we're going to move toward negative rates in the United States. And we don't deserve low bond yields. With our debt level
right.
and our fiscal crisis, balance of payments crisis, to fund the deficit. It's going to be about a 1.2 to 1.4 trillion this year. And remember a jackass forecast in 2009. We're going to have $1 trillion annual deficits for as far as the eye can see.
Here we are.
And we had them. And you don't listen to the knuckleheads who produce these stat rat nonsensical U.S. government accounting sheet, $560 billion deficit 2 years ago, $690 billion deficit last year. No, you look at what the debt was a year ago, and you subtract what the debt is now, and you get $1.2
trillion. Exactly.
I mean, a second grader can do it. You don't need to hire. Oh, gosh, I heard a funny little sideline story. The U.S. government typically hires experts like in accounting firms and engineering firms, and they hire them for the firm, and the firm makes a decision of, you know, which little MBA or which, you know, master's in engineering will take care of the job, but they're paid $32,000 a week. You wonder why do we have such big deficits? Well, it's not just war. It's the consulting for various tasks.
Yeah, all the other
Not done. They're not done by salaried people in the U.S. government. They're done by consultants with the rich and rich consulting firms for $32,000 a week. And you think, okay, multiply by 50. What's that? About $170,000?
No, $1.7 million.
Million dollars? Sorry, I got my zero. You think those young Turks, young kids who are doing the job, you think they're being paid a salary of $1.7 million? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's
okay,
all part
of it. Okay, back to the bond market. What do I think is going on? We're at the end of the road. How many times have we heard in the last year that the Fed is running out of ammunition? They're running out of tools.
Yeah.
And you get the confirmation when you hear the Fed officials saying, we still have a few tools left. They're saying that because they do not have any tools left.
Right.
How many times have we heard that they don't have much ammunition and we can't really amplify the volume? That's exactly what they have been doing.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just going along with you. That's exactly, there's only so many things they can do. You know, they're not these all-powerful guys with all these switches and levers. They've got like three things. That's it.
Well, let me mention a couple of their clever devices that were not around 10 years ago. One is the reverse repo.
Right.
Okay, if a big bank has a bunch of cash, the Fed does not like that. You can't leverage off cash. So what they do is they say, we'll do a reverse repo. Give us your cash and we'll give you some bonds for which you can leverage 10 or 20 or 50 to 1.
Yep.
Okay. Now, I'm not making this stuff up.
No, that's right.
It's no longer 10 or 20 to 1. Those are what the futures contracts have for leverage. The banks, with permission from the Fed, they leverage up 50 to 1 with the derivatives. Okay, so they say to the banks, give us your cash, we'll give you the bonds, and you can leverage up to the heavens.
Yep.
And buy more treasury bonds because nobody else is buying them. Okay, then you've got the primary dealers, and I thought there would be more death events, like dead, D-E-D, dead. My mother was so funny. She said, Jim, dead, D-E-D, dead. What's wrong? Can't you understand? Dead, D-E-D. there are a lot of primary bond dealers who are, I think, on the edge. And they're stuffed to the gills with bond inventory, and they cannot find adequate buyers. They can't. There's no buyers. Okay, hey, Belgium, you want to buy some? Or hey, Italian government, you want to buy some? Hey, South Korea, you want to buy some? And they say, no, actually, we're selling. They're not buying our treasury bonds. So there's a very big consequence, it's like a billboard sign. The Italians are now selling sovereign debt with no trouble, three times oversubscribed, while the U.S. treasuries are going into auction failure at higher bond yields.
And at a lower yield. The 30-year Italian long bond today is trading at a lower yield than the U.S. long bond, and they don't even have a
and
government.
And they're three times oversubscribed. That means that they're, for every $1 billion or €1 billion that's offered, There are 3 billion that are bid.
Right.
But in the United States, it doesn't matter that we got higher bond yield offered. We're suffering from bids, and the primary dealers can't get rid of their inventory. So Euroraj has a phrase for this, and I'm sure it's not really original, but for me, it's a nice catchphrase. It's about the collateral, not the carry. It's about the quality of the debt.
Yeah.
What's behind the debt in terms of collateral, rather than the carry, rather than the interest earned through bond yield. And now you got a new phenomenon. All these European and other Western world bond sovereign bond issuers are unable to attract. Oh gosh, it's hard to describe because they still are attracting. The fringe is now moving toward buying U.S. Treasury bonds and driving down the interest rate. Or else, in the absence of foreign bond demand, the derivative machinery with J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs and all the machinations and artists, they're pushing down the bond yield. And you got to ask, not so much how, but why. There's a really good reason why the U.S. is going to see lower and lower bond yields. It has nothing to do with fundamentals. It has nothing to do with how much debt there is. Oh, we got a big reduction in the deficit, so we're going to have a bond rally. Oh, no, we have a big increase in the bond supply and the deficits, and we're going to have a bond rally anyway. What is going on, Sir Hemke? I'll tell you what's going on. The debt is so out of control with $22 trillion and rising, with the debt limit eliminated by the Congress, that they need absolute urgency to bring down the borrowing costs. So the bond yields go down. And how do they do it? They use the machinery, right. The derivative machinery. It's the interest rate swap. It's the double arbitrage off coupon and short-term, long-term. I mean, it's messy. It's complicated. I don't fully understand it, I admit. Rob Kirby's explained it to me a couple times, and I walk away saying, well, thanks for that.
appreciate that, Rob.
Now, what exactly did you say? Okay, so, you know, there's arbitrage of coupon versus cash bond. There's arbitrage of short-term versus long-term. And I thought when they tightened, Craig, I thought when they began to tighten that they were going to mess up the free feeder system off the U.S. Treasury bill that was shorted. The short-term was shorted so that they could do the long-term long.
Right.
Short the short, go long the long, and the arbitrage is the difference. I thought they were going to mess up the feeder system, which was free. If you have a 0%, then your feeder system of short versus long is free, and you can use all the money you want with the interest rate swap derivative and produce unlimited long-term bond demand. And that's what they did, and I thought they were going to mess it up, but I think they worked out other methods. Okay, I mentioned the reverse repo. There's another one that they have been using. Talk about their ammunition. They don't have anything new anymore.
Right.
It's called excess reserves.
Exactly. Interest on excess reserves.
Interest on excess reserves, right. And what happens when the interest on excess reserves is in competition with the Fed funds rate? I'll tell you what, the Fed funds rate goes down.
Right.
Okay, we have numerous forces. And here's one of the funny ones that I have noted. New Zealand cut by 50 basis points. Their currency went down rather hard, and it caused a problem because the dollar is too high. Now you've got numerous central banks that are more aggressive in their rate cutting, which forces their currencies down even more than they wanted on the Forex market, and it's exposing the fact that the Fed is slow.
Yeah. So Jim, let's tie that into the third thing that I wanted to ask you about, because you're talking about foreign currencies now. And I don't know the logic of this, if it was look over here, don't look at what the right hand's doing, look at the left, but the head of the Bank of England, Mark Carney, showed up in Jackson Hole at the Fed's party last Friday. and basically declared that the end of the dollar reserve currency regime is nigh. You know, that we got to do it, and it's coming, and everybody should start getting ready. Did he get that with the Fed's permission? Did he go out and do that as a way of trying to talk the dollar down, you know, because of all those emerging market issues like you're mentioning? Or is it just simply an admission that, as you said earlier, there's always going to be this transition from Portugal to Spain to Great Britain to the U.S. to now whatever's coming next? I mean, this is all stuff you've been talking about for years, too. There'd be an international dollar, and then there'd be the Scheiss dollar here within the States. Is this all part of, I mean, is that that all of a sudden this discussion getting shoved to the forefront about the, you know, the kind of the terminal phase of the dollar reserve currency status, does that all tie into this too?
I think we got a fork in the road, and the fork leads to two places. One is the gold standard, and one is the Basel version of a corrupted, putrefied gold structure currency bond. And let me elaborate on that.
Yeah, please.
The first one is a legitimate gold standard where you've got gold trade payments, where you've got guarantees on sovereign bonds with gold guarantees. Again, gold trade payment, gold trade note. And I'm not even concerned with gold-backed currencies. I'm concerned about gold trade notes for trade payment. I'm concerned about gold guarantees on sovereign bond issuance.
Right.
So where if you don't clean up your act, you lose your gold reserve. I mean, strict, ugly, nasty, severe consequences. Okay. We are moving headlong, fast, but on the Eastern Highway, toward the gold standard with gold trade payments and bonds that are backed by gold trade notes and bilateral trade between two countries that is guaranteed by gold trade notes. Italy is a prime example of that with China. Okay. You also got legitimate gold trading tied in with oil and the RMB currency in Shanghai.
Yep.
That triangle is critical. The Russians have been using it. I think the entire Belt and Road is going to use it. And I'm waiting to see which nation comes forward and says, we want to be the big primary agent for converting sovereign bonds into gold for your central banks. And I'm thinking Turkey could be it. And there might be a dark horse, Sir Hemke. And that could be why we hate and obstruct Iran so much.
Mm-hmm.
Can anybody say 5,000 years of Persian Empire and accumulation of gold? I think the big dark secret is Persia, Iran, has a gigantic gold reserve and might act as a merchant broker for the entire Belt and Road, the entire Eurasian trade zone, for converting their shit dollar treasury bonds and their shit euro bonds and their shit UK gilt bonds and their shit Japanese JGB bonds into gold bullion for their central bank storage and reserve management. Not just Turkey. It could be Iran, Persia. I got, oh gosh, a funny little comment. This happened about 3 months ago. Someone asked a question to The Voice, do you think we're going to go to war with Iran? And I pitched in and said, no, there'll be no war because we'd lose it in the first 20 minutes. We proved that we're second class in the military. The corruption in the bond market and the money markets has transformed the Pentagon and it's all of its weapons procurement and weapons development systems. It all goes to the law firms and the lobbyists and the senators, and it does not improve our weapon system. And The Voice replied, no, we're not going to war with Iran. I'll tell you why the U.S. hates them so bad is they've got gigantic gold reserves that are not published. Okay, so what's coming? The Basel Bunch now have a little boy spokesman called Mark Carney. And if you can figure out why the Central Bank of Canada offered up their main guy to be the Bank of England chairman or head or whatever they call it, then you're a better man than I. Because I don't know. He was a flunky in Canada, and he's elevated to be a central bank head of one of the most important central banks in the world. I figured, well, they bribed him well. They promised him billions in secret accounts in the Vatican. And he's just going to do what he's told.
Yeah, yeah. He's got naked pictures of somebody.
You don't want a guy with very high stature, high ability, high reputation to be your flunky.
Yeah.
So you pick a guy from Canada. Okay, fine. What the Bank of England is probably going to promote is the Basel plan. Now, I have studied this, and I can honestly tell you I don't trust it.
Why now, would you?
Well, ahead. Okay, and here are a couple of very big reasons why. First is they're going to want centralized control in Basel of any gold-backed SDR-type bond. Any new currency that has, say, a backing of the five major currencies, the dollar, the euro, the yen, the pound, and the RMB, yuan, they're going to want to have centralized control. And if we've learned anything from the cryptocurrency movement, it's that two things rule: independence and complete transparency. So they're going to want complete control in Basel, but they're also going to want no transparency.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I think they might want to try to do. They might attempt to do. They might say to a nation, all right, well, you know, to be involved with the bilateral trade, you got to be in, all signed up with the IMF gold-backed currency, the SDR, and it's sometimes called the Phoenix. I don't even like giving...
The Economist cover.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's also the tattoo on the back of Ben Affleck. No, he's got the Phoenix tattooed on his back, and that's, I think, one reason he's got a very nice career. I think he sold out. Okay, so Basel might say to a country like Bolivia, you want to be involved in international trade? Okay, you've got to hand us over your gold reserves.
Right.
We'll keep it all safe. We'll centralize the gold reserve storage. We'll centralize the decision making, and we're going to have global stability as a result, and we're going to offer you zero transparency.
Just trust.
And I don't think it's going to fly. Sir Hempke, I think the Chinese and the Russians and the Iranians are going to say, screw you.
Fondue. We're not playing that game.
We're not playing your redux, your reworked paper currency bullshit. We're not going to comply with your next plan because you failed. And as you failed, not only is the dollar kicked off the stage, you guys are kicked off the stage. So we're not going to get this gold-backed IMF currency and bond. They want that gold-backed currency bond to be the standard in bank reserves to replace the treasury bond. And I think they're going to fail because the Belt and Road, I don't know if you heard this figure, but the Belt and Road has had $600 billion dollars in the first half of this year in actual trade payments from actual commercial trade.
Wow.
Now, that's rather impressive. And when I was asked to guess, I was thinking, well, it might have had $100 billion. No, it's $600 billion. Okay, they're working toward $1 trillion this calendar year in actual trade from the Belt and Road projects. That's not the Eurasian Trade Zone. It's just the Belt and Road projects that are underway and actually with traffic. This is astonishing. Okay, the bond crisis is going to erupt, and it's going to have an effect on this third topic of what comes next. I think the East is going to promote the gold trade note. Now, something very important happened. Aramco did a London-based bond issuance. And in the disclosure phase, it became known that the Aramco Saudi petrochemical complex, major financial entity, had $1 billion in RMB currency on its books, which means now that's their savings account. That's not flow for revenue incoming. That's their savings account. That's after cost. So where'd it come from? It came from selling the Chinese oil and accepting RMB currency. I believe they're using the gold trade note, and the voice hinted to that effect several months ago. He said it's been in effect and in usage, and I won't tell you anything more. And I said, by the Saudis, and I did not get a reply. So the Saudis have it. The Saudis are using it. The Italians have used a gold trade note to guarantee bilateral trade with China. I thought that the Italians were going to use it to guarantee their sovereign bond issuance, but that could come next. I think these panda bonds, which are Chinese-denominated bonds sold in a foreign country like Austria, I think they're eventually going to have a gold trade note backing. That could come soon. And what it does is it gives China the right to access and seize their gold in the event of worsening bond climate or, you know, defaults or just accelerated supply. The Chinese will say, well, gosh, if you haven't fixed anything and you got even more next year, we're going to cash out. We're going to cash out and grab some of your gold. Okay, that's what's coming. And I don't think the East is going to say, oh, whatever you say, Christopher Lagarde.
Sorry.
They're not going to agree with Mr. Lagarde. And I don't care if Lagarde goes over to become the Euro Central Bank head.
Right.
To me, that's like a pipsqueak of Jerome Powell becoming the head of the Fed.
Right.
When you are ready to default, you get rid of your high integrity, big statured people.
I suppose.
And you bring in your little guys with the puppet strings. And Christopher Lagarde fits that description to a T, because the Euro Central Bank is about to suffer, I don't know, a very big event that I believe is going to involve some bond failure.
Which they would, what, have to restart QE to try to avoid that, just like in the U.S.?
Right, hyperinflation, yeah. They're already at negative rates. They're going to be monetizing Deutsche Bank, monetizing a couple of French banks, monetizing five Italian banks, monetizing other big corporations in trouble that they can't afford to let fail. And we're heading toward hyperinflation, which, as I said before, every step that these central banks take will light another fire under gold and lift it up another 10 or 20%.
And now we
everything
are,
they do.
And here we are. We're right back at the beginning. I mean, I think, Jim, why don't we pause here? I'm thinking to myself, you ever see The Princess Bride? Surely you have, right?
I'm not sure. Starring whom?
Oh, you know, from 30 years ago, the movie The Princess Bride.
Anne Hathaway?
No. That's The Princess Diaries, for crying out loud.
Oh, I don't know.
Rent The Princess Bride. So there's a great line in there where the chief character looks at another guy and he says, truly, you have a dizzying intellect. And you do, for crying out loud. I keep thinking that to myself as you can speak to so many subjects and speak fluently. And your forecasts, yeah, it depends. Sometimes they take out a little longer to play out because there are things that are beyond your control. But your forecasts are tremendous. And again, all of this can be picked up at golden-jackass.com. And in 2019, there is no better time to have a subscription to the Hat Trick Letter. Jim, as we wrap, tell everybody a little bit about that and some other things you got going on.
Okay, something has happened that has never occurred before in the 15-plus years of doing this newsletter. I really did not have visions of being at the desk 15 years later after 2004 and the launch. I expected that by 2010 we're going to have retirement of the dollar and the gold standard put in. But we have tremendous corruption. Something has happened, Sir Hemke, that I've never seen before. I've got 14 forecasts that are all kicking into gear, all happening at the same time. And to me it means the global reset is happening. So if you want to get up to date, if you want to get current on all these different topics, like the gold trade note launch, Germany flipping east, embracing Russia, China buying Saudi oil in RMB terms, the U.S. putting Saudis under the bus, kicking them under the bus, reversion to infinite QE forever, the Treasury bond recognized as a global subprime bond, numerous non-U.S. bank transfer systems competing with SWIFT, the British begging for a role in the Belt and Road Initiative, Iran becoming a vital member of the Eurasian trade zone, U.S. losing control of the oil market with heavily reduced oil volume in dollar terms, the rise of the dual universe and the friction in the frontier zone, where I call it, like with Germany and Iran, Shanghai eventually becoming the main arbiter and controller of the gold market, a bond market crisis unravels, and the U.S. finds itself in utter isolation. If you want to get up to date and current on these forecasts that are all happening at the same time, which tell me that we're at the global reset in progress, this is a two-year process, in my opinion, sign up for the Hat Trick Letter. It's found on golden-jackass.com. As of January, the new site is very friendly with the portable devices, which are now involved in over half of the online traffic.
Yep.
It's got a wider format. I get a lot of compliments from it. I'm still working out a couple of little things, but it's doing very well. And, you know, I have to mention something, Greg, Craig, this is difficult for me, but I broached the subject back at the July 4th interview that we had, the show we did. I'm in trouble, and you know, I'll be more blunt. I'm in deep trouble. I've been very badly wounded financially here. I like to say that the losses have been well into the six figures. I'm sorry, five figures. Oh, shoot. What am I saying? Well into five figures. It's well over $100,000, okay? One incident alone was a crime scene where the owners went to prison. And there was a court fine. It was $100,000. And I was just a 6% owner.
Brutal.
Okay, the losses have been enormous. I did about 12 different things, and 8 or 9 of them turned out to be a total mess with title fraud, contractor fraud, a crime scene with a guy with internal criminal, deep criminal behavior. He's in prison. Court fines, oh gosh, there was a judge who requested a certain amount of money so that there would not be a big court fine at the end. And he lied. And it was $100,000 to seal it off. And there are losses with title fraud in two properties. There are losses. And now I got something new. It's an official government office that's committing extortion in order for me to remain in the country with valid residence status. I mean, there's just no end. Okay, so I'm in trouble here. I got to say, though, that in the last month and a half, the donations have been nice and have helped me out. And I'm sorry to say that it's just the beginning of what is needed. I'm openly in admission that I made some errors. I trusted the system, and the system really backfired in my face. I did some nice things, like, you know, room addition for a couple little kids, and now they're 18 and 20. That was years ago. And they're nice, fine adults, and I'd like to think, well, I had a little hand in their formative development, well, formative years in their development. They're good kids now. You know, and I see them, and I take them to a movie once in a while. I can't remember the name of the movie, what it was a year or 9 months ago. But it was something special that they wanted to see. I said, I'll take you. Sure, we'll get some popcorn. You know, they only speak Spanish, and we have a lot of fun. My Spanish is really quite passable. But golly, when I started doing a little bit more, looking for some independence in the event that the newsletter would come to an end, it's not a matter of, well, how much money did you make on that, you know, $50,000 investment? No, it's more like, Well, you had a $50,000 investment, but you lost $70,000.
Right.
That's one of them right now.
Yeah.
And people say, well, Jim, didn't you learn? Why didn't you just liquidate? Well, I have to inform them that when the fraud is encountered, start the clock on the cleanup process, which is very costly. You got to pay an attorney to clean up all the title fraud and make sure that it has a proper title. Then you have to do other things. I'm trying to sell one property right now, and I had to lay out another couple thousand after laying out $1,500 for the proper paperwork in the title to make it able to be sold.
Jeez.
The cleanup process, Greg, I'm sorry. Sir Hemke, the cleanup process for one has taken 18 to 20 months.
Unbelievable.
So, and it's costing money every step of the way in the cleanup process. Okay, they do not have an honorable paper document structure system here in Costa Rica. They do not. The fraud is everywhere. Every person I know, every American I know, every Canadian I know has stories about either his or a friend's fraud and deep losses. One story I know, a friend of a friend of mine was in a restaurant where he owned, and he shot and killed a local who was trying to do a robbery. And they turned it all around. They paid witnesses to shut up. They paid other witnesses to turn the story around. They imprisoned, they put in prison the owner who shot the Costa Rican and got $30,000 squeezed out of him. They just bribed a judge and got a few attorneys and the police to falsify reports, get the witnesses, falsify the witness. It's just everywhere you turn. I've learned my lesson. I'm looking for a second chance.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful to those who have donated, and I'm asking people to continue because I need to get out of the woods, and I'm really not out of the woods.
And we need your voice. And so I encourage, folks, if you can help, like you said, there's a donate button there on the golden-jackass.com site, or you want a little bang for your buck on top of that, just simply subscribe to the Hat Trick Letter, for crying out loud.
And a few people
too.
Have done both, as I said to you before.
Yeah.
I've had about 8 people sign up and say, Jim, I got your appeal, I heard it, and I was about to do the donation, and I thought, well, let me donate a little bit less, but then I'll sign up for your newsletter also.
In the newsletter, tell everybody what they get.
It's a monthly report, and it has about 6 different chapters every month. I never leave out the bond market and the government debt situation, because that is a burning issue. I never leave out the factors that are leading toward the return of the gold standard. There's always some stories, and lately it's been the reduced mine output for silver. My gosh, I've got a client who's in France. His name is Cyril Joubert. In English, it would be Joubert, but Cyril Joubert. And he's got an argument. It's my special report. It's a guest special report for August. And Monsieur Joubert has a report on how he believes the silver market is going to follow the Fibonacci sequence of 8, 13, 21, 34, 55, 80-something.
Mm-hmm.
We've already seen the move from the teens to the 30s to the 50s. And we're going to repeat that path and then head toward 80, 90. The silver market is going to follow the Fibonacci sequence. And that is the basis of the Elliott wave jumps.
Yeah.
And the argument is simple. There's just no track record. There's no past history. It's open field. So how is it going to be governed? How is the movement going to be governed and priced? And usually I have found in many, many instances, without the past track record and obstacles, like, oh my gosh, there were a lot of people who owned it at 80. They're going to be looking to sell and get out. No, there are nobody. There's nobody at 80.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be a different question when we get toward 50. Who's going to be dumb enough to sell? Or who's going to be in need enough to sell because they need to pay for their son's education, or they need to pay for some medical bills or something? So this is very exciting. And the Hat Trick Letter has gotten, I'm not making this up, it's close to 90% correct forecasts. My favorite one to make recently was Germany would flip east. When I mentioned it to my father, a World War II veteran, he said, "Whoa,
no way!
How do you figure? I don't doubt you, Jimmy, but how do you figure?" And I said, "Well, they're not going to like the Russian sanctions. They're going to work around them. Yeah. Russia's a big partner in business. They're going to set up subsidiaries. They're going to buy Russian oil and gas, and they're just going to say screw you to Washington and say we're not going to follow your lead. And before you know it, they're going to have a big trade partner in Russia, like they've always have had." Oh my gosh! So, you know, sign up for the Hattrick Letter, hit the donate button. People have been very generous. And I know they're small, they're medium, they're large, and they're wonderful. And you know, some of the comments that I get are heartwarming. Like, I'm in the Netherlands, Jim. I have not subscribed to your newsletter. It's a bit too much for me, but I certainly enjoy your interviews for the last 3 or 4 years. And I feel like, well, you know, I don't mind giving something back because I've never paid for your newsletter. And poof, there's a $250 donation. And it's just very heartwarming,
yeah.
Sir Hemke.
Yeah. Yep.
There's just so many. And there are others with bigger donations. And I encourage people to go in there and donate. And you know, some of them are small. I don't have much. I'm retired. I'm on a limited income on Social Security. But I thought I'd send $50 your way. And there was even a donation from Mr. Ferguson himself 2 months ago. And it knocked me flat. What the heck are you doing?
Well,
okay, very nice.
We're all
very
in
nice.
This together. We're all in this together. And those of us that see it coming, we're all trying to work together to prepare as best we can. And like I said, we need your voice. We need all the information we can get. And I think that's why people are willing to help out if they can. I'm glad that you're working through all this stuff, no doubt about it. And I think it'll be very interesting now when we talk again at Thanksgiving to see, oh my gosh, 90 days from now, I can't even imagine what things are going to look like. Let me ask you one last question before we go. By the next time we speak, how many football games will your Ohio State Buckeyes have won?
I don't know. I just did my little survey. I've got a buddy who was my roommate's roommate after we split, and we all were a gang. We were a little gang of about 8 or 10 of us, and one just died. One of my college buddies in San Francisco died. He died of a heart attack, and I think it was from steroids and bodybuilding with, gymnasium work.
Yeah.
And I had a little conversation with him. I said, "Hey, Bobby, you taking steroids? I hope, gosh, you look like you're taking steroids." "No, no, Jim, I'm good. Just, you know, a lot of protein powder." Okay, so my one buddy is a former Ohio high school football player and wrestler, and he keeps up with what's going on. And I've got a client who lives in Chicago, and he was on a mid-90s Ohio State football team. He was a running back, and now he's a client of the Hattrick Letter. So I've hooked up the three of us. So we have a little conversation, and what I've learned is that Coach Urban Meyer in the last 2 years was a massive problem.
Yeah.
Because he had a nervous breakdown,
yep.
Sir Hemke.
Yeah.
And he did not let it be known because he wanted to continue with his paycheck. And he delegated a lot of authority to his buddies who were not really good coaches. And now he's gone, and I'm hearing that the new coach, I think his name is Day,
yep.
Like the day of the week.
Brian Day.
I hear
Brian
he's
Day.
Very good, Brian but we Day. Got a problem with the linebacking coach and problem with the linebacking, you know, turning that around. Maybe the new coach is good. I don't know. But I think we're probably going to win all but one or two games. Well, I don't know up to the time of Thanksgiving. There's a test with Nebraska.
Yes, sir.
Up.
There is September 28th, Big Daddy in Lincoln. Nebraska
and there's another test.
Ohio State.
There's another test. I think Michigan State, yeah. Which has a lot of returning good players.
Stout defense.
I don't know if that's at home or on the road, but. I'm expecting Ohio State to do quite well because of the removal of Coach Urban Meyer.
Well, that's another thing we'll check in on when we get back together about 90 days from now. My friend, between now and then, it's going to be eventful. Shit's going to happen that we can't even begin to foresee. We'll be like, oh, my God, can you believe it when we talk next time? But for now, I guess we'll wrap up. Please keep your nose.
Let me lay one. Yeah, let me lay something on you here.
Go ahead.
I said that we have a rest stop at 1540 for gold. I believe we're right around there now.
Yeah.
We're in that neighborhood now. So we need to complete the rest, and then we continue. We have not yet reached the swing momentum target for silver at 19.10, but we will. I think we touched 18 yesterday.
Yeah, above it. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fine. It'll be, you know, two step forward, one step back until we get to 19.10, and then it's going to be a rest stop. And my definition of rest stop in this environment is a week or two or two and a half.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I believe that by the time we get to Christmas, there's going to be a lot of talk about whether we can make new highs over 1900.
And like we said, all those other currencies are. So, you know, it's just going to be the time for the dollar soon enough.
What people are going to do is they're going to short the dollar and go long gold.
Yeah.
And if you're in England or you're in Germany or you're in Switzerland, you can do that. So you don't have to be an American to push up the gold price in dollar terms. You can short the dollar and go long gold. And that is what exactly some of these analysts are saying right now. Sell stocks and buy gold. And that is a cousin arbitrage to selling the dollar. Next, they're not going to say sell the treasury bond and buy gold. They're not going to do that because they know that we're going to follow this stupid path towards zero.
And that's where it's all headed. You're absolutely right, my friend. And it's just sure going to be interesting because we'll have another Fed meeting in September, or another one in October before we talk. I mean, it'll just be really fun to talk to you again, my friend. But until then, I think it's time to sign off.
It's time to sign off. But let me just also say that I said that we're going to be looking at approaching and challenging new $1,900 highs by the end of the year, perhaps. And maybe sooner. It could be November.
Yeah.
But silver, we're going to be looking at mid-20s. We're going to be talking about the $30 price again before the end of the year. And this is welcome music to the people who've waited patiently.
That's
so
right.
I hope people go to the Golden-Jackass website, sign up, make a donation, help me out, because I can tell you honestly, Sir Hemke, that my mental state is a little bit better since the donations have started to come, but this is I need more help. This is too much. Yeah. The extent of the losses is massive, and it all happened, almost all, 90% of it happened after I started talking about the pedophiles.
How about that? Well, yeah, all right, my friend, hang in there, keep the faith, all that stuff, and have a great autumn down there in Costa Rica, and then we'll talk in November.
Okay, very good. Thanks for having me on. Bye now.
Everybody have a great holiday weekend and come back here ready for business on Tuesday as the month of September kicks off, and it's going to be a fun one. Again, thanks for listening. We'll do this again soon.